integration is more about the example I just gave. Maybe I literally do not have time to both exercise on my own and walk my dogs and have a full day at work and help care for my family and do something out in my community and get some time with my husband or partner and a little time with my friends all in 1 week, let alone in 1 day. And those of you trying to do all of that in 1 day, and you know who you are, and I've been you.
Yeah.
It is a recipe for mental, physical, spiritual health disaster. So stop it.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We've got a great interview episode for you guys this week. It's actually Shannon's first solo interview, so I'm so excited for her to tell us about the person she interviewed.
Yes, I will share more about this guest who we set up this interview because she has some very interesting perspectives on issues like the work-life integration, quote-unquote, like what people usually refer to as balance. And also, she's a mom. She's dealt with postpartum. She's very passionate about that area of life for women. There's so many things that she can talk about. We're going to get into it a little bit more. But first, we wanted to give you guys a quick reminder to please join us in participating in a monthly challenge that we have started to host.
The October monthly challenges.
Yes. So now, well, actually August through December, we have been doing monthly challenge. They consist of a fitness and a dietary component. And each month we're giving you the opportunity to join us in just kind of starting to instill some good habits to set you up for success before the new year even gets here. So that when you actually get to 2020, you already have some great habits in your life. We're not making you do these things. So we want you to connect with us and let us know if you participate. This month's challenge, the October challenge, is...
The fitness one is yoga or day.
Every day.
Every day. Sorry.
If you didn't understand the or day.
I'm sorry, guys. Yoga every day. And don't be intimidated by that. There are some great and simple yoga poses that anybody of any type of, I guess, experience level can accomplish, and they're great for, I would say, starting the day. You can do them any time of the day, but I love doing it in the morning, so I'm ready and mobile and loosey-goosey.
Yes, so going off that, not feeling intimidated, the yoga also talks to the fact that it's not just asana or the poses, so it's not just having to do a flow or a series of positions, as you might think. We are also extending the idea of yoga to some of the other aspects that you may not be familiar with that are actually yoga. And that is the pranayama, which is the breathing, different techniques. It's basically controlled breathing, and they're all different types, but it can be as simple as just inhaling and counting to four and exhaling and counting to four or five or six. You can practice however you feel, and also meditation.
Right.
So if you have an app on your phone or if you already have a meditation practice you just want to dedicate some more time to, all we're asking, 10 minutes a day, give that a little bit of a try for every single day.
Sit in the lotus position.
September.
Boom, and you've taken them
all. Did you say October challenge earlier?
We're in October.
It's September.
Whoa. Guys, I am...
Please try for September. It is yoga National Yoga Month. And definitely give it a try.
Absolutely. And then the dietary-related challenge, is make 3 meals at home every week. All right? So, guys, don't get, once again, don't be intimidated. Scrambled eggs in the morning, okay? put a couple of eggs in the pan, boom, you're done in 5 minutes. Or if you don't eat eggs, if you're vegan, some oatmeal, instant oatmeal, minute and a half in the microwave, boom, you're done, okay? And then, you know, it can translate to lunch and dinner, so on and so forth. Don't make it complicated, but focus on trying to make some meals at home instead of eating out or buying food out every day.
Yeah, and not just reheating.
There you go. All right, so without further ado, Shannon, I want you to tell me about your very first solo interview.
Yes. So our guest this week is Dana Look Arimoto, and I will lead off by saying this is a woman who does have – she has a pretty impressive background. She's been a C-level executive for, like, Fortune 500 companies. She's started her own company. She has her own consulting business. She has worked on, you know, an international level. She speaks around the world. She just published a book this year. I mean, her resume is incredibly impressive. However, it was a conversation that I had laid out. I figured I knew exactly what we were going to talk about. I had my questions lined up. And then once we actually started talking, we ended up going down an unexpected road. You know, it just was one of those conversations where we just flowed with it and we learned a lot about each other and we connected some dots and some things that I hadn't planned to talk, you know, about. She really does focus on the work-life integration, and she has a great book called Stop Settling, Settle Smart. And it's really just teaching you more effective ways of living your life. And it's not the idea of tackling everything, but it's about prioritizing and it's about settling smart. I actually have the book now. It's on my nightstand, so I'm super excited to finish that. We talk a little bit about it in our interview. We also talk about why Dana's background actually almost set her up for kind of looking back. It was a natural progression to a passion she had when she was younger.
All right.
So it's just really interesting. So I definitely would encourage anybody to stick around for this, and you can laugh if you want at my first ever attempt at an interview. Hopefully it is something you will enjoy and learn a lot from.
Yes. All right. Please enjoy this interview with Dana Look Arimoto.
Good afternoon. My guest today is a woman who has worked within the higher levels of the corporate world. She's worked with Fortune companies. She's been a speaker around the world. She's founded her own company. She's a published author in numerous publications, but also most recently published her first book, Stop Settling, Settle Smart. I am very excited to welcome Dana Look Arimoto. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. Exciting to be here.
Thank you so much for joining us. I really am excited to dive in, but we always start with kind of a standard question. What is, if you can just tell us, in the last week, what's your training or exercise or fitness kind of recap? You can make it as detailed or broad as you want.
Sure, and I'm really fortunate. So for your listeners, try not to be too envious. I'm just coming back from 30 days on Kauai.
Oh my gosh.
So my daily regimen was swimming in the pool and swimming in the ocean. It's so warm there compared to my California base where I have the same Pacific Ocean access. However, it's freezing. So lots and lots of swimming, walking, and sweating. And now that I'm back for a couple of days, walking as close to the beach as I'm able to get with or without my dogs.
Oh, well, those furry friends tend to help keep you moving a little bit more, though, I think.
Yes.
That sounds amazing, though. I'm incredibly jealous. I've only been to Kauai once, and it was life-changing.
Oh, so relatable.
Yes. Well, as a nice segue into just general, beyond this past week, would love to kind of hear about whether health and fitness has been a big part of your life previously, if you've had any kind of specific challenges that might have come up that have changed the way you're looking at your health and fitness today.
Yes, it's been a huge part of my life, and something most people, unless they've known me my whole life, don't know about me is I am a former ballerina.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah. So that was really my whole jam until I was about 19, and after my freshman year of college as a dance major, made the decision that it wasn't a long-term fit. I knew I was going to be in the court of ballet and not a prima, not a principal, mm-hmm. not a lead dancer. I was good. I wasn't great. And I was starving. So I thought, you know, there's got to be more. I'll fall back on my brain. I had backup plans and other passions. And I knew I would always dance or move or do something to that effect. So I did make the transition sophomore year of college. Ended up sticking with my nerd self and getting into things like comparative analytical research and journalism, and became a personal trainer. So that was the early part
wow.
of fitness.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is quite a shift from going from ballet to the analytical side and getting into writing and then personal training. I feel like you can come from to personal training. It's like a beautiful stop in a lot of different roads.
Yes, and I have a daughter on that path now who's 19, ironically. So, you know, life is a circle. Play
yes.
the circle of life from mm-hmm. the new Lion King movie
yeah.
or whatever.
I know, cue the Simba music right here. Yeah, so do you feel like that really contributed to kind of how you approached your main career?
It did, in that public speaking has always been a huge passion of mine, and we know scientifically, qualitatively, anecdotally, most people are terrified to do public speaking. I do a lot of coaching around public speaking and helping people get rid of their ums and their ahs and their trepidation around it. I also realized for myself, I'm a big ham, so I do love to perform. Mm-hmm. People have been known to say, the world is your stage. Well, that's true. And it's also, now that I'm over 50, I'm realizing it's my one-to-many approach. So it's also a very faster track to getting your message across to many people at the same time.
Mm-hmm. So you've done speaking, I mean, with your corporate experience, you did a lot of speaking just from an international standpoint, and now you're speaking on different topics. You have your own company and your own consulting business, right?
Yes.
And how did you transition from that corporate world to the beautiful world of entrepreneurship?
Well, it's interesting. I helped three different founders build, grow, and sell their companies.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, most likely confidence or lack thereof, I felt like I'm a great number two, but not a number one, and mm-hmm. certainly not an entrepreneur. I didn't have that need for speed, fearless risk-taking. I was a single mom for 11 years, so I just felt like I didn't have that it factor. However, I finally got to my CEO level position, did it for about a year, year and a half, and realized I don't even want to be the CEO of a company. I want to start my own. I don't want a boss. I don't want employees. Sorry to the thousands of people I've trained, mentored, helped, grown, sometimes had to fire over my 28-year career in nonprofit and staffing. Literally thousands of people, and everyone was so clear, as was I at the time during that journey, that I loved leading and developing and mentoring teams. And I did, but there was something that was on my what's next category mm-hmm. that was going to become solopreneurship, and here we are.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's a real, I think it takes not just a confidence, as you said before, but it takes some comfort with those more scary areas of speaking to people, being able to make the tough decisions, and really you have to have such a a demand on your overall mental wellness and health to be successful, and not kind of lose yourself to the demands of that position.
That's really well said. I couldn't agree with you more. And to know yourself takes time. And I coach a lot of men and women. And even though there are certain gender differences and even gender biases, when it comes to confidence or imposter syndrome or not feeling good enough, we all struggle with that at various points throughout our life in varying degrees. And for me, I also knew I wanted a body of work that could scale, mm-hmm. a body of work that could be relatable, a body of work that could provide actionable and practical advice and tips and tricks and tools and traps to avoid, mostly because I made a lot of mistakes, mm-hmm. that people could learn from. And that was holding me back from going out on my own until 3 years ago when I took the leap.
Yeah. That's really incredible. And I would imagine the discipline that you had to learn as a ballerina and even as a personal trainer, your approach in working with people, did you utilize those skills and find yourself calling upon that previous part of your life to sort of support your endeavors?
That's a brilliant question. No one's asked me that.
Yes, I got one.
Write that down. Everyone that. So, yes, and I'll tell you why. I didn't know at the time that a lot of that training was around consistency, duration, and frequency. And we all know that that's a huge aspect of any successful fitness program. Mm-hmm. And indeed, it is true in business. It is true in life. There's no divide, no separation. Mm-hmm. And if we do anything with consistency, duration, and frequency, we are going to yield a positive result. Mm-hmm. Whether it's, you know, what we eat or how we exercise, what types of approaches we're taking if we're in a sales job, to having, you know, consistency, duration, and frequency for reaching out to our clients, whether it's developing people as a mentor, you've got to show up consistency based, duration based, frequency based, mm-hmm. or it's not going to work very well. So, brilliant question. And it's a thread, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think having had both myself and my co-host, Nick, he made a huge career change from a very science based profession to personal training. But I think one of his biggest fears was, how do I take one to the other and how do I apply that? And it's like, you already are. And we had that conversation, and it's so interesting to hear people who do have that discipline in their background, whether it's doing competitive sports or, I mean, I've recently been talking about ballet just because there's we've been discussing which places to put our daughter's interest in the future. And it was like the highly disciplined, active types of trainings, those set you up for a lot more than just fitness. And it's great to hear how you've applied that to your life now.
It also, as you well know, and for all your moms and dads listening, the self-esteem that comes from anything like that. Mm-hmm. is invaluable. I have a daughter in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and I didn't know anything about that.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
She's such a badass. Can I say that?
Yes, and we're actually, that's the route we decided to go, is we're going to enroll our daughter in jiu-jitsu because my husband's practiced it as well.
Interesting. Both yes. of my daughters practiced for 11 years. My youngest quit and went back to gymnastics. My oldest is now about 13 or 14 years into her practice, and she's a blue belt, which is a pretty serious Whew. Level competitor yeah. and very young for a woman at that level. And the self-esteem and the self-discipline that comes along with it is just invaluable. I've never really quite seen anything quite like it. And then I, of course, like I said, relate to that from my own ballet training, because there mm-hmm. was so much consistency, duration, frequency, rigor, self-esteem, teamwork, even choreography. Mm-hmm. So you don't, you know, smack someone in the face as you're pirouetting across the stage or whatever. Actually, that's a terrible analogy because you don't want to move in a pirouette. So, you know, you're like grandjetting across the stage and whoa, there's an accident. So that can't happen. So, yep. You know, awareness of mm-hmm. who's around you and what the impact points are to the choreography. My dad, when he was teaching me to drive, I was afraid at 16 of this giant truck that was next to me on the highway. And he said, It's just like your choreo. Just make the exchange. I was like, how did he come up with that?
You're like, Dad? Seriously? Yeah, that's like the beauty of parenthood. Every once in a while, you pull out one of these gems that your kid's going to remember forever.
Yes, and now I'm teaching my youngest daughter, who's 15 and a half, about that same concept. So thanks for that.
There you go. So being an entrepreneur, thankfully, you do have this wonderful background where you've been physically active, but how does being an entrepreneur affect the physical and mental sides of your health? Because I can imagine with the time demands, as you said, you having kids, that is a lot.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought it up. The law of diminishing returns apply here. So fitness, health, and wellness for me, which I call vitality, mm-hmm. has been a real challenge, not just in the last 3 years. The older I get, mm-hmm. I'm 51. Also, I've had a couple of semi-serious injuries, and the recovery is not the same as in your 20s, ladies and gentlemen.
Gosh.
Remember to take care of your body throughout. So it's been a challenge. I'll tell one quick funny story. In my, I want to say 30s, so height of my crazy career, mm-hmm. I would sleep in workout clothes sometimes.
That's kind of genius, though. I'm thinking about this. I'm like, I want to try that.
Well, you wake up and you realize, I'm ready to go work out. And to then still not go. It's almost like you can't even trick yourself into that one. So that was one method that actually worked for a long time. And then like anything else, you're like, okay, I know that game. Now
you learned.
It's slightly less comfortable pajamas.
Yeah, so you're not going to bed in like, you know, the big pants and like the comfy shirts. You're just like, still a little bit to just nudge you into those workout clothes, hopefully.
For me, it's about integration, which is really the key to success for everything, which is I love my dogs. I have 3 rescue dogs, and they need to go on walks. So I can either pay someone, beg and scream and fight with my daughter to take them, even though, of course, one of those dogs technically is hers. That's no bueno.
Of course.
I can take them myself and get that time by the beach and for myself and get in some exercise and be with them. And I can walk with them at night or on the weekends with my lovely second and final husband. So lots of options, people. Yeah. Got to pick one. Got to pick something.
Well, and you said a word, integration. And this is a word that I think a lot of people, they think, well, as long as I'm doing, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, you know, why do I need to integrate them so much? But really, we're at a point in just society where integration is a lot more integral to our lives. Like, it's not just about the B word. I'm going to say the B word, balance. Work-life balance, you know, private, professional balance. It's just such an outdated concept, but the idea of integration, which I know work-life integration, this is a huge component for you.
It is, and again, so spot on, I'm going to use that. Next time I'm on stage, your ears are going to be burning.
Yes.
I'm going to say, and the B word, balance.
It's
very
B
bad. B for bad. So balance is typically something people have either learn to believe because of something they've seen or heard or watched on TV or read in the media, or some hero has told them, you can have it all. Mm-hmm. You just have to, you have to do it all, though. Right. Hint, hint, to get it all. So, and then you can be your all. Kumbaya. That, it's yeah. not true.
Yep.
B is for another word. BS.
Yes, I'm definitely using that one.
And if people believe that, they will run themselves ragged trying to achieve it. And so integration is more about the example I just gave. Maybe I literally do not have time to both exercise on my own and walk my dogs and have a full day at work and help care for my family and do something out in my community and get some time with my husband or partner and a little time with my friends all in 1 week, let alone in 1 day. And those of you trying to do all of that in 1 day, and you know who you are, and I've been you.
Yeah.
It is a recipe for mental, physical, spiritual health disaster. So stop it.
Yeah. The B word, balance, inevitably is going, if you're pursuing that, you inevitably leads to the other B word, burnout.
I'm taking you on the road with me.
Anytime. Just tell, or if you're ever in Florida, just give me a call.
I would love that. Oh, we could share some great stories. I have Tampa stories, too. I'll tell you that.
Oh, I can't wait.
Ballet and Tampa equals fun story.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, we're coming back to that
later. 1989. Okay. So the balance piece, you're right, does lead to the burnout piece. And so for everyone, I like to give this image. It really helps. So picture this adorable, like cutest hamster you've ever seen in your entire life. And not to be in trouble with PETA, but put it in like the cutest outfit you can imagine. Okay? So this adorable, lifelike, human-esque hamster is running in the wheel, running, 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 running. Now, we're going to get Nick to weigh in on this. You personally train that hamster so it can run a sprint, and it's killing it on the sprint. And then the hamster says, pick me with my paw. I want to do a marathon. And we get the personal trainer involved and the marathon's happening. Okay, so great. Even the best personal trainer in the world is going to tell you, you cannot run a sprint inside of a marathon.
No.
But that's how we're leaving ourselves completely burned out and maxed out. By attempting to run a life sprint inside a marathon. And that's what we're doing.
Yep, that's exactly true. And, I mean, who wouldn't burn out? I mean, it's inevitable.
And we debate the people who are entrepreneurial, and there's incredible quantifiable studies about this, including a lot of Arianna Huffington's work on sleep deprivation, since it happened to her. Bless her for actually doing the study and bringing it into the light. There are less than 4% of the population that gets away with sleeping less than 4 hours a night. And so for those of us that think we can just trade off the sleep, not true.
Yeah.
And in fact, we're limiting our own performance. When I'm coaching my clients one-on-one, especially CEOs, they're like, yeah, Dana, it's okay. I'll just pull an hour out of my sleep. It's like, great. And when you squeeze the balloon and it comes out the other end of the balloon with the same scenario but on the other side, where do you think the impact is?
Right.
Maybe with your family. It may be with your own health and welfare. It may be with your company, quite frankly, and your staff or your team. So we cannot fool ourselves into believing any longer that there is such a thing as work-life balance. It's a myth.
Yeah. It's the same people I would like to hit across the face that said, you can sleep when you're dead. And why would you ever say that? You know, that's been in my head like my entire life is, oh, you sleep when you're dead. It's like, no, it's going to kill you.
Dangerous, very dangerous. And for those that are listening, and I consider myself a recovering workaholic. It's a work in progress.
That's great. Yeah.
We have to just understand that this is incremental. We're not asking people. I certainly have not made changes myself that are wide and sweeping. It's incremental changes that stick and that last, mm-hmm. just like working out.
Mm-hmm.
One day at a time, 1 week at a time. Sometimes it's an hour at a time. Let's face it.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's knowing that this is something, I mean, you say you're a recovering workaholic. I think knowing that's where you are, that is half the battle. It's admitting, yes, my name's Dana. I have a problem. I am a workaholic. that just that step is huge. And if you realize all of a sudden, you're like, this work-life balance is BS. Because I will admit, I was the same way for a lot of my professional career. So, I mean, even in college, heck, I don't think I slept in college, really. But different time. Your recovery, as you said earlier, is a different thing when you're that age. But once you realize how much you've been burning yourself out, I think no time has it ever become more clear than when I became pregnant and I had the wake-up call of, this is your life, these are your priorities as you know them, and everything's about to change. And that whole concept of balance and work and personal life, it just got blown up to smithereens. And add on top of just everything changing, then you have the postpartum aspects. And I know you said you have two kids. Prior to having those two children, what was your mindset in terms of, is this going to change my life? How am I going to be afterwards? Am I going to be at work and be 100% again in a 3 months or a year even? What kind of was that experience for you?
It's so good you bring it up. I didn't give it 1 second of thought as to what it would be like later.
Oh, you just kept going. Yeah.
Well, that's what we do.
Yeah.
We're type A superwomen with a cape. So it didn't even occur to me to ask those really intelligent, self-reflective questions. And other moms that I knew didn't talk about it either, interestingly enough. Even as they knew I was trying to get pregnant, and when I was pregnant, mm-hmm. it was not a topic of conversation, which is why a podcast like this is so important. So that people can have the conversation. It's so much better to be prepared up front and truly have backup plans, and even backup plans for those backup plans. Know your support system. You know, run some of the scenarios. What will I do if this occurs? Not like some endless loop of what if crazy making anxiety ridden questions, because yeah. we can do that too.
Oh, yes.
But more on the practical, almost like a business plan for your life, mm-hmm. strategy kind of way of operating. And I talk about that a lot in my book. And as someone who really is a strategist, I'm so good at helping other people with those things. But as always, when it comes to yourself, it's like, nah, I got this. And I went back to work with my firstborn daughter after, wait for it, 8 weeks.
Yeah. That was the same for me, actually.
Rough. Really rough, tough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not having any systems or even people championing you to say, well, you should maybe go for the full three months or longer.
Yes. And then I ended up taking 4 months with my second born daughter.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Still not enough. But no. It's like, in looking back, you're like, still wasn't enough. But at least you did that.
Oh, girl, I thought I'd get a medal. I was like, I'm doubling down. But don't tell your kids these things, because then later they use it against you.
Yes.
You must love her more.
Yeah. And it's going back to work after 8 weeks, which isn't even technically 2 months, and having your life turned upside down and being expected, even though, you know, people say like, oh, it's fine, we'll give you some flexibility, and you're just trying to figure out what your name is still. You know, it's like everything I knew before is totally different. And how do I do this? You know your profession and you can do that well because it's something you've been working on. But everything else just feels like a giant question. And finding that integration again after that point. I mean, do you find yourself coaching people at certain key times in their life, like, you know, postpartum, and find that it's different?
Yes, absolutely. And it's almost as if that's one very visible, you know, you can touch it, feel it, understand it example, even for dads. Mm-hmm. That's such a giant example. But so are all what I call level one life changes. You mm-hmm. get married, you get divorced, you have kids, you move, you have, you know, some type of person that you're close to and love pass away. And so all these big life changes, you know, career change, and maybe you actually move to a different part of this, you know, country or out of the country, a job that has tons of travel that didn't used to, like all these level one life changes come with the same recipe, either for disaster or for accelerating your own transformation, which requires integration. And it's very clear that it's black and white. You're going to go down or you're going to go up. Because if you stay the same, you're going to end up down in the spiral.
Yeah. The spiral, we all find ourselves there at some point or another.
Yes, we do.
Just really finding your way out, that is the triumph.
Yes. And of course, my life work now is giving people the tools and the knowledge and the power to not get in the spiral and to see the spiral is coming. Mm-hmm. And that's the foresight piece that's really hard when you're in it.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Now, I know that this is what you teach and you travel around, you consult for people on this concept and giving them the tools to do this. And that is a lot of what your book is. Stop Settling, Settle Smart.
Yes.
And this was just published this year, so congratulations.
Thank you. Labor of love.
It's always a labor of love, right? So what aspects of the book do you think are most worthwhile? I mean, a lot of people I'm sure would love, like I would love to just sit and pick your brain for like a week and and have you be doing that one-on-one consultation. But what aspects of the book are really going to be helpful for people who are looking to kind of learn more about this work-life integration?
Sure, Shannon. So the end of each chapter has something that I call fact versus fiction. Mm-hmm. And at the end of each chapter, it's a bit of a summary, but also a bit of a quiz so that people can really figure out the lies they're telling themselves and the lies they've been fed versus what are the real facts of the matter. So whether it's about toxic relationships, whether it's about career, whether it's about your own health and wellness and vitality, like we've talked about a little bit today, you know, whether it's about giving back community, society, maybe it's going to church, whatever it is that you'd put in that society facet of your life, whether it's about your own family, the way you spend your time with them or the way you don't, settling mm-hmm. or not. It's very personal and it's very defined by each and every one of us. What is settling and what settling is not across those five key areas or facets of our life. So at the end of each chapter, there's a check-in. You know, is it a fact that if I spend a little less time with my best friend, she will no longer love me? Mm-hmm. Or is that fiction?
Yeah, like our worst fears face that. Is it true?
Right. You know, it's been said that 99% of what we worry about doesn't come true. And that's kind of a mind blow because we worry a lot. It's part of society. It's not just for parents. not just for breakfast. We worry. And so I really like to keep it real and be very practical in the advice so that people can take those lessons, apply them immediately, and start to make the shift. I call it, you know, a shift dynamic, because it has to be dynamic. It can't be static. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the feedback I'm getting from people that are reading or on Amazon from reviews or my own clients, that part of the book makes it very different than other books out there that are trying to give similar stories and messages, because it keeps it super real and very easy to implement for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And I am sure just after speaking with you, I'm sure it is very relatable, and people of, you know, you don't have to be an executive. This is a book for everyone, that they can start applying some of these kind of principles that you outline in here, which are so important, I think, for any time in your life. And I know we talked about it earlier, but it's really fascinating knowing your background now and seeing how that might have gotten you to where you are today. And I'm curious, where are you going from here? Where do you feel is your next step?
Yeah, so I have a plan that won't surprise you getting to know me. So the more I can speak to people, the more the message is heard. And the more the message is heard, the more lives start to change to get people where it is they want to go. So my real mission is to be on as many stages, as many podcasts, as many webinars, write as many blogs, be featured in as many publications as humanly possible, so that the message gets spread. Mm-hmm. And once people start to make the shift and their life starts to change, they will tell somebody else. And it may or may not be someone super close to them. That's great if it is. It may be someone at work. It may be somebody out in community. It may be somebody who you're a mentor for. It might be your own children. Mm-hmm. I've noticed that my daughters have settling conversations with their friends. And it's not like I can say to them, hey, girls, are you settling? Let's stop settling and let's start settling smart. Let's give something up and trade it off so we can have more of what we love. They would look at me like I have three heads and they'd run away.
Stop talking gibberish, Mom.
Yeah. Yet they're hearing it.
Yes.
It's almost like osmosis. They sort of somehow get it. It seeps in there. And then I hear them with their other friends talking about these concepts. Because, listen, it's a weird thing to say to people, A, you have to stop settling, and B, you have to settle smart. Even that is confusing as heck.
Yeah.
Which is why you've got to be mindful. And so I have this quick mini quiz people can take. It's 5 minutes. It's free. Tells you where you're settling, consciously or unconsciously, depending on where you're at, voluntarily or involuntarily, knowingly or unknowingly. But you got to get aware, right? Mm-hmm. You have to be aware. Here's where I'm settling. And, oh, that's cool. I want to settle there. I don't want to spend every single day out in community. Okay, cool. And here's where I want to make a shift. I want more time with family and less time with work. I want to settle more here and less there. So that's how this works. You take the quiz, you get yourself into a position of knowing, then you start to make the mindset shift about what you're going to do about it incrementally, and then you join the movement. So mm-hmm. ideally, this is a movement of people who are settling smart.
Yeah. Well, and I hope you'll take this as a compliment, but it's almost like you never really left that personal training attitude and sort of mission, because you're still there to champion each person to understand kind of their edges, know their you know, their downfalls and weaknesses, but teach them how to get back up again and to be better.
Thank you so much for saying that,
which is, I think there are very few things that are better and more needed in our world right now. So thank you for all the work that you do.
Oh, I'm so joyful to do it. It's definitely my passion, and I so appreciate this conversation. It actually, just like coaching, we say we teach what we most need to learn, and I've learned even more about myself in chatting with you today.
Oh, fantastic. This has been such a treat for me. And I'm sure we could keep, we'll keep going back to later on. We'll talk about those Tampa stories off the podcast.
Yes, let's do it.
But I will say thank you so much for both me and Nick. We are so grateful to have amazing people telling their stories, sharing their vision, not just about their life, but really what they're hoping to accomplish for this world. And I hope that our listeners, I know that they will, be inspired by that. I hope they go and check out your book, Stop Settling, Settle Smart, and look you up. Are there any key areas that you would direct people to learn more about you?
Sure. Settlesmart.com. Take the free quiz. Learn about yourself. You can follow me on Twitter at Dana2the5th with the number 5. And I'm on LinkedIn and Instagram, and you can find me almost everywhere.
Fantastic. Well, you have a new social stalker in me, so you'll have more from our listeners. So thank you so much, and hopefully at some point we'll bring you back and we can have a totally different conversation in the future.
That would be great. Thank you very much for having me.
So I hope you enjoyed that interview with Dana Luk Arimoto. I think you can tell we really hit it off. She's actually someone that we're going to have to coordinate some kind of visit with, whether it's her coming this way and we're just going to take advantage of that, or we're going to go out to her neck of the woods in California and kind of meet up. But she's a very, very interesting woman. She's got so much, I think. She still has so much that she still has yet to unfold. I hope we can stay in touch.
Yeah. And I mean, I especially was drawn, as you know, and you told me right away after you interviewed her about how she has daughters that are both doing jujitsu, which that is obviously,
yes,
our daughter going into that very soon. So that I'm always interested to hear people's experience with that.
Yeah. And I mean, we kind of came across that little nugget in talking about other things, but how hysterical is it? Like, you don't talk to very many people who either have or plan to have their kids in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Especially girls. She has two girls. But yeah, the fact that she said that it was amazing for stress, it's given them so much confidence, I was like, sold. You know, like,
if I didn't sell you before.
If I wasn't already bought into it, if I had any hesitations at all, she would have convinced me right there.
Nice.
But I thought it was fun, and you may agree, she had Tampa ties.
Yeah.
And the fact that she actually went to USF.
Mm-hmm.
So she has some background in the area, and I was telling her after our interview all the changes, the Tampa Bay area, and I thought it was kind of fun to talk to someone else who had been here before Tampa was, I feel like, a real city.
Yeah, yep.
And she had great things to say about it still, so.
Yeah, like you said, hopefully we can convince her to come back and visit a little bit, because it would be great to meet up with her and, you know,
kind of
get a little bit more kind of guidance and knowledge that she's already imparting on a lot of people, you know, through her book and her seminars.
Yes.
So that's a person of influence that I love the fact that we were able to connect with and that you were able to interview.
Yes, and we did talk a little bit about, you know, as you heard, the postpartum side. But that's really an area that she and I both were very passionate about, since we both kind of had experiences where, you know, postpartum was not this fantasy of, you know, oh, it's all this quality time. We actually both had the same amount of time off from work. She had 8 weeks of paid leave. I had 8 weeks of unpaid leave.
Yeah.
And kind of, we both talked about how that impacted us and the challenges that brought, and yeah, that whole time period, which even though I'm technically, I think, not postpartum anymore, I would still think I am still struggling with some of the stress and anxiety issues.
Right.
So she and I were talking about other ways we might connect in the future. might have her back on the podcast, I hope, to talk, like I said, about some of the more great things I know that she's going to be working on in the future.
That's great. I'd love to have her back. And if you guys have any ideas or any suggestions on people we should reach out to interview or to have on the podcast, I should say, please feel free to send it to us. You guys, our contact info will be on the outro. But you guys know you can always connect with us on Instagram also at ettampa or
Shannon JP.
That's right. So, do you got anything else for him?
No, I would say just follow us on social and definitely share your thoughts with us in the reviews. And also, yeah, participate in our challenge, the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Challenge.
Yes. Connect with Dana also. I'm sure she's all over social.
Yes, so. She is. And she's one of like my new Twitter buddies.
Yes, that's awesome.
Which I love all Twitter.
All right. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness Podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter at the ATF Podcast and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks.